now.
Yes, Lord, we praise you, Lord. We worship you this morning, King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, the creator of heaven and earth, Lord. We worship you, the name above every name, Lord. Your name, Jesus, is above every name. And we exalt you, and we worship you, and we acknowledge you, King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the healer, the deliverer, the only true Messiah, the only Savior of mankind, the only way to eternal life. We worship you, we honor you, we exalt you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I feel like we could just keep worshiping for a while this morning. Got a lot to get into. You know, just when I think the devil can't come up with any more deceptions, here he comes. Man, we are living in a world that is deceived. And I'm talking about the Christian world. You hear me? I mean deceived. Every which way you turn. I just heard some of the craziest stuff I ever heard this morning. Crazy stuff. But I want us to turn first. I want to turn to, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 first. Now, 2 Peter is all about, really, Peter's last words. He knew he was about to die. When a man knows he's about to die, he's going to give you some important instructions, right? And Peter knew he was about to die. And one of the things, chapter 2, I'm not going to read chapter 2, but chapter 2, he starts off talking about beware of false teachers among you, right? And then immediately after he goes through an entire chapter talking about beware of false teachers and how they're going to, what they're going to teach you, which one of the things that he said false teachers are going to teach you is once you're saved, you're always saved no matter how you live. He said that's not true. I mean, he made that clear in 2 Peter chapter 2. And then he goes right into talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Because you would not believe where many Christians are going now with this. All right? But let's read, let's start reading in 2 Peter 3, verse 1. And Peter writes here, this second epistle, beloved, now write I unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. Now, notice he says willingly ignorant. What does it mean to be willingly ignorant? Meaning you're being ignorant on purpose. There's really no excuse for it, these deceptions that people are believing, because the Bible is clear. And when the Bible is clear and you stick it in somebody's face and they can't see it, that is a deceived person. All right? And I'm blown away. Let me just go on and tell you. I go on and give you a little hint before we get there. There are people right now that believe, Christians, and they're teaching this, and this is getting popular, that Jesus has already come. That not are we in the millennial reign, but the millennial reign's already happened, and we are in the time where Satan has been loose for a little season. And that there's no persecution coming for the church, because that happened in the first century. Oh, I kid you not. And I'm just like, are they reading the same book? And then I listened to a 30-minute teaching from a pastor on this. Now, let me just say this. I remember an old preacher doing this one time. He used to say, We can make the Bible say anything we want to, because you can go over to this part of the Bible and you can say Judas went and hanged himself. And then you can go over here to the story of the Good Samaritan and you can take out the verse that says, go thou and do likewise. We can take the Bible all any way you want to take it. That's why there are laws to interpretation. It's called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics. Meaning, first of all, one of the laws of hermeneutics is actually taking the Bible in context. Now, what does that mean? Taking the Bible in context means you take a particular passage or a particular subject. Let's take the subject. Let's say, for instance, the subject of healing or the second coming of Jesus. Any subject you want to take in the Bible, salvation, deliverance, demons, you to anything. You want to take any subject in the Bible, you take to get the correct doctrine, you have to examine all the passages containing that issue, whether, let's say, healing. And we would start a study of healing from Genesis and go all the way through Revelation before we establish a doctrine about healing. Okay? You don't get to pick and choose. Like, for instance, we could say that we could pick one story where Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and healed one person, right? And there was a multitude of sick folk there. And we say, Jesus only heals one person wherever he goes. You see what I'm saying? We can do that. But then you got other passages where it says there was a crowd of people, a multitude of people, and said Jesus healed everybody who was there, right? So what we do is we have to take all of that. We also have to consider the book, the writer, the history. Sometimes we have to look up the original language so we can understand it. But bottom line is, you don't get to pick a few verses here and leave out a bunch of others, and then you say you got a doctrine created. See, the biggest problem, I'm going to tell you right now, these post-millennial, I don't even know what you call these new ones. Post-millennial means, see, we're pre-millennials. We believe Jesus comes before the thousand-year reign. Okay, post-millennials believe that Jesus comes after the thousand years, the second coming of Jesus. And now we got the new one saying he already has, right? And that we're in some nebulous age now where Satan has been loosed. There's so many problems with this because, again, you can say this and you can pull scriptures out to make it sound like this is all true. But they have some serious problems. Remember Jesus said, and see, another thing is you have to understand biblical cosmology. Because once you understand biblical cosmology, you understand at the second coming of Jesus, all the stars fall to earth. And the firmament itself, that is a solid crystalline structure, is rolled back like a scroll. And every eye, excuse me, every eye sees it. It's not a secret coming. It's not a mystery. It's not something hidden from us that happened in 70 AD or 1,000 years ago. Jesus even warned of that. He said, let nobody say, look, he's here, he's over here, or he's over there. Or that he's, and Paul even said, don't let anybody tell you that Jesus has already come. Jesus even said, don't let anybody tell you that nonsense, because his lightning shineth even from the east to the west. And what he's talking about is when the firmament is opened. The firmament, folks, is still intact. The stars are still where God put them to begin with. None of those things have changed. You hear what I'm saying? But notice how these people leave all that out. I'll tell you what else they leave out. You can't have a second coming of Jesus Christ and a millennial reign until you have the mark of the beast. I love it because this guy was saying that Nero was the Antichrist and that the first century persecution and then the destruction when Rome burned because Nero caught it on fire. He would say all that is the fulfillment of the book of Revelation. I kid you not. And I'm sitting here going, when did Nero issue a mark where the whole world had to take a mark in their right hand or their forehead or they could not buy or sell? And was Nero's method of executing Christians beheading? Because Jesus said the primary method of execution coming upon the end time church that resists the mark of the beast will be beheading. That's going to be the primary way of martyrdom. Was that Nero's way? No, Nero crucified people. Nero put people in the Colosseum and let them be devoured by wild dogs or by lions and tigers and bears. He lit people on fire. He burned people. Nowhere does it say that there was mass beheading of Christians in the first century. And we are only now in a time period, in the only time period ever in history, where the technology exists to literally put something in your hand or in your forehead and to control whether you can buy or sell or not. It's called now computers and the internet and chips and wireless communication and nanotechnology. And now they can plant it in your brain. So, folks, I want to tell you right now, there are Christians getting swept away with this. And then all you have to do is just a quick little research into church history. And when I'm talking about church history, I'm talking about going back to the disciples of the disciples. For instance, John, the Apostle John, was the longest living apostle. And he discipled a man named Polycarp, right? Polycarp discipled Justin Martyr. Justin Martyr discipled Irenaeus. Guess what all of them taught? They didn't teach that Jesus came in 70 AD. In fact, Irenaeus tells us that the book of Revelation was written in AD 95 to 96 when John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, meaning, what, 20 plus years after 70 AD. And then there was another guy named Papias. Anybody heard of Papias? Papias hung out with, you know what he called himself? The hearer of John and the companion of Polycarp. And guess what he taught? Same thing. Jesus has not come yet. We have not entered the end of end times. The second coming of Jesus is in the future, and it will be followed by, there will be a tribulation. Jesus will come. There will be 1,000 years where Jesus rules and reigns on the earth. And then, yes, Satan will be bound during that time. And then he will be loosed again for, it says, a little season, a short season. And he goes to deceive the nations again. And guess what? There's no struggle. There's no years of the church being tempted. It says the devil gets his folks. They surround the great city where all the saints live, which I don't recall that ever happening anywhere, right? But in history. And it says when they surround the saints, this is Revelation 20, when they surround the saints, fire comes down from God and devours all of them. Again, the Bible is clear. What is scary about this is that people who believe this stuff, what we'll call post-millennialism and this new post-post-millennialism, I guess that's what we'll call it. People who believe this are not even paying attention to what is happening right in front of them. They don't believe in the mark of the beast and that whole issue. That's all done with. That's all just a metaphor, allegory of the struggle between good and evil. And so when it comes, go ahead. See, this is the problem, folks. And I said this, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again and again and again. And this is something the Lord spoke to me just a few weeks back, and I shared it with you. If you don't know the Bible really well, the Lord said to me, you will be deceived in these last days. Deception is actually what is going to increase dramatically. That's why Jesus, in Matthew 24, you can go there if you want to, but in Matthew 24, in fact, you can pull it up, when the disciples ask him, what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? Four times in the chapter where Jesus is going through a sequential chronological breakdown, kind of an outline, he says four times, don't be deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. Why would you think he would say, don't be deceived? Don't let yourself be deceived over and over again. And then he even said, many shall come in my name. Says, take heed that no man deceive you. For, because, for here means because, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, the word Christ means anointed, anointed one. So he's just saying people will come saying, I'm anointed, I'm a Christian. Not necessarily I am Jesus. Now, we got some of those freaks out there now, too. Right? Of course, we got the freaks out there now that everybody can become God. Their own little God, their own little G. No. Sorry. You're not becoming a little G. No, that nonsense is going to take you to a place starts with H. Take heed, no man deceive you. Going down, he says, many false prophets will rise and will deceive many. Go to that one. He says, there it is, verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Deceive a few? Let me just go on and tell you, Satan doesn't have to deceive the lost. He's got them. Who's he trying to deceive? The word deceive means to lead astray. Well, if you're already led astray, then what's the point of deception? No, the ones he's after are the ones who know the truth, believe the truth. He's after the Christians. That's why Paul warned that in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Folks, go down to verse 24. Here again, same chapter. Jesus said, for there arise false Christ and false prophets. Notice that it says the false Christ is plural. I got people arguing, you know, people fuss about who's going to be the Antichrist. Well, we got some people saying it was Obama. I remember when people saying it was Reagan. I remember people saying it was Gorbachev. I remember when people saying that now it's, goodness, it's there's a list of people. Now, here's the thing. There will be one of them, one person will step forth as the final Antichrist. The Antichrist will be a man, all right? There will be a final Antichrist. But the Bible told us that there would be many people who would operate in the spirit of Antichrist. In fact, there's 10 kings that's going to work with the false prophet and the Antichrist. You think the 10 kings aren't going to have the spirit of Antichrist on them? Some people ask me, like, you know, I know, like, for instance, I know Obama's not done. Obama's not done. I believe he'll be one of the 10 kings. I believe people like King Charles now, he'll be probably one of the 10 kings. I know there are people, some people think that he might be the Antichrist. He might end up being. We don't know, but what I'm saying is the Antichrist is going to have companions. And they're going to follow him. So the spirit of Antichrist is going to be operating in a lot of people. But notice he says, I love false Christ. I mean, there's some guy came along, I can't remember, some guy in England claiming he was the true king. And and he was the Messiah. Then we got what's his name? Benjamin Cram, the New Age prophet, saying the Lord Maitreya is in somewhere in the Middle East. And they had pictures of him walking around. I remember when Benjamin Cram took out a full-page ad in USA Today back in the 1980s saying the Christ is here. I mean, just like he took it straight from Matthew 24. Lord, if they say here is Christ or there, believe it not. And he's like, here he is over here. The Muslims, they say the Christ, the Messiah, their Messiah, the Imam Mahdi. They say he's in the desert. Notice that Jesus said, what was it? Islam didn't come about until the late 600s, 700s, into the 700s AD. So Jesus said this, you know, 600-700 years before Muhammad and Islam ever started, that, behold, if they say he's in desert places, believe it not. And what does Muhammad say? Oh, yeah, he'll be in the desert. That's why the Bible's amazing, folks. Covers everything. Specifically. But see, let me just go on and tell you that if you don't read it, if you don't study it, if you don't meditate on it, if you don't learn it, you will not know these things. And these people can come along and just tell you anything they want to tell you. And give you a little scripture here or there, and you go, ooh, they gave me scripture. Did they give you scripture in context? Did they tell you all the scriptures about that subject? Why do you think sometimes we have two-hour sermons in here with PowerPoints that have 100 slides to them? We're about to have to get back to that. Because this one today could have a PowerPoint slide. But don't be deceived. We are in the days that Jesus foretold. And I was reading it again. I went through and read Daniel 7 again this morning. And you start reading it and you realize, you know, Daniel 7 and Revelation go hand in hand. And you start reading that, and in both places it says that this Antichrist and these 10 kings and this beast, this final last beast kingdom, is going to wear out the saints. Daniel says the saints will be given into his hand for a time, times, and dividing of a time. That's 3.5 years. Guess what? Book of Revelation says the same thing. When he steps forth, he'll have 42 months to continue, 3.5 years. And he will make war with the saints and prevail against them. See, we don't want to hear that. See, what's so bad is you have these post-millennial people. This post-millennialism is where you get the doctrines of kingdom now, dominion theology. And what they believe is that the church is going to get stronger and stronger, better and better, and we're going to take over politics and the arts and the media and everything, and we are going to create utopia. And then at some point in the distant future, Jesus will come back. The church is going to make it better and better. I've been doing this church thing, y'all, for 35 years. And before that, really, I go back from a child. So let's say I was 5 when I started going to church, 4 or 5, and I'm 54, about to be 55. So a good 50 years. Have I seen the church get better and better, stronger and stronger? No, I have seen it go downhill. I've seen entire denominations that were once on fire for God, now a shell of what they used to be. How many churches are there left that are still preaching holiness, repentance, faithfulness to God, sticking to the word, calling sin, sin? Talking about heaven and hell. I don't know about you, but I get the letters, the emails, the messages telling me can't find a church that preaches the truth anymore. 30 years ago, it was not that way. you're going to tell me it's getting better and better. And now we find out, listen, folks tell me, I remember folks when I just said, you know, I was going announced I was going to run for governor of Alabama. People was like, you know, it's all rigged. You know, you can't win. I said, it's irrelevant to me because I have to obey God. I know it's rigged. And goodness, this last election, with the midterms, I knew before we ever got there, talking about red wave. I'm like, there ain't going to be a red wave because the same voting machines are in all the same states. Everybody's shocked. Oh, what happened? I mean, we know that May 24th, the primary here in Alabama and the governor's race, we know it was manipulated. We know it. Absolute proof. We have it. Know it. Could prove it in court, but court don't even want to hear it. Let me just go and tell y'all, America is over. It's gone. It's been taken over by these wicked, evil globalists. And let me just go ahead and tell you, don't get your feelings hurt if you're a Democrat, because it's not just the Democrats. There are Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and Independents and freaks and geeks and all in between that have sold their soul to Satan's new world order. They've sold out to it. They're going to follow the beast system. They're going to follow the Antichrist. They're going to take the mark of the beast. They are fully submitted to this system. And America is in the last throes of death. It's got the death gurgle right now. And when she dies, now I did see her shocked back to life, but she's going to die first. Everything you know, everything you've experienced, everything you've lived up to this point is going to change drastically. It's already changing. Food's going up. They're saying food shortages now. Russia is talking about nuking America, nuclear war. This is not Pastor Dean or hyperbole or exaggeration. We've got a guy as president of the United States that can't even talk. He should be in a retirement home. This elder abuse, what we're watching right now. He is mentally not there. Now, I'm not trying to be mean about him. It's just a fact. And he didn't get elected to that position. See, what y'all don't know, I had somebody come up and say, oh, yeah, the Democrats cheated. I said, no, what you don't understand something. The Democrats and the Republicans have been cheating for years. It's just which one sold out to the globalist agenda. They don't care if it's an R beside the name or a D beside the name. As long as they're sold out to the UN, to the World Economic Forum, to Bill Gates, to the vaccine agenda, to all this stuff, as long as they're sold out to that, to weakening the United States and forming a world government out of the UN. As long as they're down with that plan, they will get into office. They'll get the money, and they will get the votes, and they will be in office. Georgia, you going to tell me Georgia put Warnock in twice? No. That you got two Democrat senators in the southern state of Georgia? No. How And I don't care what people say. People say whatever they want. But let me tell you something. The whole mentality that a lot of Republicans have bought into, but the Democrats have completely, this whole communist, socialist, tax, all that comes from the Communist Manifesto, folks. All of it does. It's to destroy the middle class. And Biden's putting the finishing touches on it. Really, really, it's just the people around him. He's just a figurehead. But they're putting the finishing touches on America. You know, I quoted this last week, but let me tell you what's sick. This is what's sick. When 48%, you might as well say half, of young people that were polled said that they thought that it was okay to give somebody the death penalty for speaking something they didn't like. We got half of young Americans now who believe free speech should be outlawed. Or if you speak your mind and doesn't agree with their little agenda, then you should be put in prison and killed. America is about dead. The First Amendment goes, and they're trying real hard to make sure they take the Second Amendment. Because they take the Second Amendment, and then they do whatever they want to you. They take your children. They force vaccinate you. You don't comply. You go off to a nice little fun camp. That's what Hillary called them, fun camp. To be re-educated. And if you can't be re-educated, you just kind of disappear. Hillary's good at that, too. Look, I lived in Arkansas when the Clintons were governor. It was well known. You said certain things, you fell off a 10-story building, or you just disappeared. Everybody in Arkansas knew they were flying drugs into MENA Airport. Now they made a movie about it, bragging about it. American Made. Tom Cruise as Barry Seal. I knew that story in 1987. Now it's a movie. Everybody, oh, if you talked about it back then, you're a conspiracy theorist. Now it's a movie. And we want to act like America's still intact? No. It's a shame. I love my country. But our America as we know it is over. And really, they've been manipulating the machines since 2002. Probably before that, but they perfected it. Two guys, a guy named Dennis Montgomery, CIA, NSA contractor, developed the program. And his company, eTrepid, developed the program with another guy, MIT guy, contractor for the NSA and the FBI and the CIA. Dr. Naveed Keshavarez Naya. They said that CNN calls him the smartest man in the room. And they went as whistleblowers. And they've told you, we made the program. It's called Hammer and Scorecard. We made the program to be able to hack and manipulate foreign elections. And then we found out that the deep state in America was using it to manipulate our elections. And we had to blow the whistle. This evidence has been presented to federal judges who have slapped gag orders on these things because they don't want it out to the public. And you think we have free and fair elections in America? And if we don't, then what does that mean? It's over. It's over. The only thing left in America to keep America, the only reason they haven't invaded us, China, Russia, the deep state hasn't fully invaded and taken over. It's because there's about, oh, how many, 300 million plus guns in the hands of patriots in America. And they know the moment they make that move, it's war. And it ain't Republican-Democrat war. It's American versus globalist war. And they know that. The blue helmets are coming to a street near you. Let me read y'all a dream real quick. I'm just going with the flow this morning. You don't need to be deceived. Who said this woman? Did she send us this dream? Did you send it to me in text, babe? The Walmart dream. Send it to me again. I'm gonna read it to you. Now, I did a Prophecy Quake show on this in 2015. Somebody say 2015. So it's still there. We still have the Blog Talk Radio, and we still have all the audios on the website. But 2015, I read this because this dream was from 2012. But when you hear this dream now in 2022, you're about to freak out. All right? Because God said he would give his servants prophets, dreams, and visions in these last days. He'd pour out his spirit. And this is a woman that sent us this dream. And the dream, she entitled it, Trapped by the Beast. You saw it online? This was 2012. So she wrote this down. The name is Belinda Anderson, 3/14/2012. So 10 years ago, let me read this to you. And then I'm going to tell you something that's actually happening now. I dreamed I was walking on my lane just as it was dawning to go up to the main road to the mailbox to get the newspaper. Just as I got to the road, I saw one of my neighbors getting into his truck. He drove up to me and said, "You better get to Walmart quickly. They're giving away free food, water, medicine, and gas." Now, let me say something. That would sound strange 10 years ago. It would sound strange 5 years ago. We're about to see gas, food, water shortages in America. We're probably just a few months away from it. So unless you know how close we're getting. Said, "You better get to Walmart quickly. They're giving away free food, water, medicine, gas." I said, "My husband is asleep, so I'll have to wait until he wakes up." My neighbor said, "Well, I wouldn't wait too long or you might miss out." Then he left. I went on over to the mailbox and got the newspaper. I got halfway back down the lane when I heard a voice say to me, "It's a trap. It's a trap. Don't go." I asked, "What's a trap?" The next thing I knew, I was standing in a Walmart parking lot. The lot was packed like it always is, so I asked what was wrong. I heard that same voice say, "Look at the people." So I looked at the people. They were coming out of the store with grocery carts full of items and getting into their cars and leaving. I asked again, "What's wrong?" The voice said, "Look closer at the people." So when I zeroed in on the people, all of a sudden I noticed they were all wearing dog tags. So the people coming out of the store, getting in the cars, all had dog tags on, but dressed normally. Anybody remember Jade Helm? Let's come back to that in a minute. They were coming out of the stores. He looked closer. They were all wearing dog tags. She goes, he said, "Then I found myself inside the store. There was a long line at the left of the store against the wall. They had it set up like at the airport with the rope lines so the flow of people would be orderly. The store was full of products and people were shopping, so everything looked normal to these people in line. However, I noticed the people shopping had on dog tags like the people in the parking lot. My oldest brother had been in the military years ago, so I knew that what these dog tags were. I said to myself, these are soldiers dressed up as civilians. All of a sudden, I was standing at the back of the store. The store manager was standing in front of a set of doors marked personnel only. I noticed that he had on dog tags as well. He was telling the people that only four people could go with him at a time to be processed and to get their vouchers for the free stuff. He had them line up two on the left and two on the right behind him. As they went through the first set of doors, there was a breezeway area, then another set of metal doors. He was telling these people that when they went through the next set of doors, there would be two women sitting at a desk to go up to the desk and wait. And as soon as the people got up to the desk, the second set of doors closed. Four very large men, they looked like sumo wrestlers, came up behind these people, put their hands over their mouths, and gave them some kind of shot, an injection in their arm. These soldiers took their driver's license and keys from them. I believe the driver's license represents taking away their identity or place in Christ, and the car keys represent taking away their freedom. They are now belong to the beast, lock, stock, and barrel. Now, that's just her interpretation. The two women sitting at the desk stamped these people on their right hands. I got closer so I could see what the stamp read. It read, Bus 1, Section A. Then these people were led out the back door to a waiting bus. These people couldn't put up a fight as the shot they had been given made them like zombies and they could barely walk. These people or victims' driver's license were placed in a box that read Bus Number 1, Section A as well. I'm sure this was so that they could keep track of just exactly where they were taking them. Their car keys were given to some soldiers standing close by. I decided to follow these soldiers with the keys to see what they were doing or what they were going to do. They found these people's cars and drove them off the parking lot. I decided to go back to the bus to see what was happening there. I noticed they were taking people to the back of the bus and working their way forward. When they would get two people in the seat, there was a large harness that came over these people's shoulders. Then the soldiers reached down and grabbed another harness that went through their legs, and it all joined together at the waist and locked. There was no way these people could get up. Then again, the next thing I knew, I was standing in a large field off a dirt road. This field was full of empty car carriers. I watched as soldiers drove onto the field and up onto the car carriers. When the car carriers were full, they drove away. I lost count of how many there were, as there were so many. I just stood there trying to digest everything that I had just witnessed. I closed my eyes, and when I opened them again, I was back on my home lane. I stood there thinking how clever that whole process was, that they didn't have to go to the people. They devised such a clever way to have people come to them without putting up a fight, like lambs to the slaughter. I also thought to myself, they have been planning this for a long time. Walmart would be a very logical staging area as they provide food, clothing, supplies, water, medicine, and gas. They are always advertising it as a one-stop shop. Now we know why. I took another look at Walmart. For some reason, I looked at it in reverse from the dash out, and it reads Mart Law, or it could be Martial Law. Then I woke up. Now, I've thought about this dream a lot since then. I won't go into who, but one of our church members is on the inside working with Facebook, Microsoft, I don't know who some of the others. And she just told me the other day that in the meetings they're having, and she knows she'll only be able to be there for so long before she has to get out. I've encouraged her to stay in and get as much information as she can. But one thing she told me the other day was what they're discussing now is a new system, and you can look it up now. They're calling Walmart Health. And it's going to be the place where you get everything. Doctors, vaccines, medicine. They're going to make Walmart the place where you get your food, you get your fuel, you get your medical care. What's that? Yeah, that's what she said, that they're already working this in. Now, what's interesting about this? Where did Walmart originate from? Arkansas. Sam Walton. What did Sam Walton do in the military when he was in the military? Anybody know? Prison camp. Who was on the board of Walmart for many, many, many years with Sam? Hillary Clinton. You don't get more New World Order than Hillary Clinton. So here we go. What I'm saying is they've been planning this. She's right. They've been planning it for a long time. But folks, we are steadily moving toward the day when all your freedoms as you know it are going to be over. COVID was the test run. See how much you would just submit to willfully or be coerced or put into fear or threatened. Boy, how many people just bowed the knee. Yes, shoot me with something that you haven't even tested. You know all the truth's coming out now, don't you? Millions of deaths from the vaccines. And what's so funny is now the media is saying, oh, all that us human, the regular human beings out here need to forgive all the people that locked us down and lied and kept from us the treatments that would have saved our lives and forced us to get a vaccine that's killing and maiming people. Oh, we just need to forgive them and forgive and move on. No, we don't. I'm about to do an update here pretty soon. I have to have a PowerPoint and probably have about 50 or 60 slides because people won't believe me. But the documentation's all coming out. The studies are all coming out. Do you know there's over 1,000 studies now? I'm talking about peer-reviewed, published in scientific journals, studies, 1,000 plus, that the vaccine is more dangerous than COVID. There's now statistics now showing that, like, just last year, that the vaccine killed more people than COVID did. And you think they care? Pfizer, one of the most fined, penalized pharmaceutical companies in the world. You think they care? No. You know, they made $5 billion off of Vioxx. Remember Vioxx? Made $5 billion on it. The government fined them $1 billion for killing people with heart attacks and strokes. And Vioxx was taken off the market. But they still made $4 billion. No, it's a business. This world system, this beast system. And what's interesting, let's go to Revelation 18. Let me show you something. Since I'm talking about the pharmaceuticals. Can I just have fun this morning? Say, Pastor Dean, this ain't fun. Well, it's truth. Let me say this as we're turning there, and I know y'all know where I'm going with this. Chapter 18, verse 23. Read this in just a second, but let me say this. One of the reasons that Christians are so deceived, not only because of social media, but just the media in general. If you watch, listen, and believe the media, and I mean the news media, the six main news corporations are owned by the same people. Please find that video with the montage of all of them talking at the same time, saying the same thing. But when I say the media, I'm not just talking about the news media. I'm talking about the TV shows, the commercials, the cartoons. Everything in it has indoctrination of the same stuff. The environmental extremism is in everything. Have you noticed that in nearly every commercial, it doesn't matter what it's about, there's yoga in it? Even the Weather Channel promoting yoga. Everywhere you go, the agenda, two men kissing over insurance. I'm like, God, did I have to see that? The only time I watch it is to watch an Auburn football game. And I'm like, Lord, help us. The SEC, get your COVID booster over and over and over again. No, don't. Let me tell you. Let me tell you a little story about when I was running for governor. You want me to tell you about a reporter lying? All right, let me tell you. They'll just lie. They'll just lie. Like, look at you, smile and lie, right? So we did the debate in Huntsville, right? And it was five of us, six of us Republican candidates, right? Doing a debate. News media was there, interviewed us beforehand. So during the debate, not one of us, you know, Tim James got on that school, that the LGBTQ, you know, non-bully school, that charter school. Now, that was Tim James got on that issue during the campaign. So that issue during the debate did not come up during the whole debate. And none of us other candidates brought it up to dog him about it or, you know, or it didn't come up. So the reporter for the local CBS, NBC station, one of the alphabet soups, he's standing in the parking lot doing his live feed. We're standing in the parking lot watching him. And he says the candidates tonight in the debate took Tim James to task for his. And we're like, no, we didn't. And then he said, somebody just walked by me with a note. No, they didn't. And he was giving out the evening news. And we're sitting there going, no, that didn't happen. And no, that didn't happen. Now, if they'll lie to you at a local TV station over trivial matters, but why were they wanting to say that we attacked Tim James for him attacking that LGBTQ school? Because that's the agenda. Create drama. Push their agenda, right? But it didn't happen in the debate. The media, the national media, they do worse than this. Worse. I mean, okay, let's go to the Paul Pelosi attack. Y'all just saw, right? That the lover spat. First of all, Politico, which is not a conservative organization, reported that somebody answered the door and opened the door. And Paul Pelosi and that David DePape guy were both had hold of the hammer in their underwear. Now, they reported this, Politico reported this, that a third party opened the door for the police. All of a sudden, that was a problematic because who was the third person? So Politico said, no, though there wasn't a third person there, though the police report said there was, right? But now they say, no, the Politico said, no, we retract that. Anybody that talks about that's a conspiracy theorist, right? This is what they do. And then the entire news media made out like this David DePapo guy that attacked Pelosi or whatever was going on there, made out like that he was a right-wing, Trump-supporting, QAnon nut that was provoked to violence by people like Laura, what's her name? By conservatives. Provoked to violence. Well, when you check out the dude where he lives, first of all, he was a hippie who lived in a bus that had Black Lives Matter posters, LGBT posters, and Bernie posters in it. Now, folks, I've been to a few political rallies in my time. Republicans, conservative, that's what I am. I never seen any naked hippies running around with Black Lives Matter, Bernie posters, LGBTQ. Never seen that before in my life. And then even his neighbor who testified on the news said, yeah, he's left-leaning. Left, yeah, exactly. But the news media had to take that right before, days before an election, and say, no, he's a right-wing, Trump-supporting, QAnon extremist who's dangerous. They're all dangerous. But let me go and tell you what now. Most of your Democrats and your liberals and your people that listen to the news media believed it, though there was no truth in it. That's what they believe. Now, what did that do? That made them hate conservatives even more. So what did they do? That just divided us even further. And none of it's even true. Matter of fact, we'll probably never know the truth. Where are the video cameras? Where was the security team for the husband of the third in line to the presidency? Where's the body cam footage from the police officers? Oh, no, you will never see any of that. Because that's not the agenda. The agenda is to lie to you. They lied to you about the vaccine. They lied to you about COVID. They lied to you about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. They lied to you. They lied about Trump again and again and again and again. They lie, 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 unless it goes along with their agenda. And if you go along with their agenda, then you're on their team. That's just the way it is. You're not getting an ounce of truth from these people. You're not getting an ounce of truth about Ukraine. Oh, I love that Russia's losing. Really? Really? Russia's losing to the Ukrainians. I can tell you a lot of things I know. I can tell you. But one of them is they're not losing. And we provoke them to it. So, again, do you hear that in the news media? No. But everybody forgets what happened in 2014 when Obama and Biden did a coup and threw out the pro-Russian president by a fake election with Dominion voting machines and a civil war. And they got rid of Russia's pro-president and put their president in there and then started moving bioweapons labs and weapons and missiles into Ukraine. Now, if I'm Vladimir Putin, I'm going to go, no, you don't. The man was far patient than I ever would have been. The moment they moved in there with any kind of bioweapons lab or any kind of missiles, I move in. But I'm that kind of, I'd be that kind of president. Don't get froggy. But let's go back to pharmaceuticals. And the light of the candle shall no more shine. Talking about in the mystery Babylon, which is this whole system they've built. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom, which is Jesus, and of the bride, shall be no more heard in no more at thee in all. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries, somebody say by sorceries, were all nations deceived. What's the word for sorceries here? Pharmakeia. There it is. Pharmakeia. You see what it is? The outline of biblical usage, use of administering of drugs, poisoning, sorcery, magic arts. Down here, the Strong's Greek dictionary says medication, pharmacy, where we get our word from. By pharmaceuticals, the nations would be deceived. If you can't see it, you know, I love the, you know, there's the old saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You know, never before in history have we had professional athletes at the top of their game, tip-top shape, dropping dead like flies by the hundreds, especially in Europe. But it's happening here, too. NFL coach the other day, dead, dropped dead. Oh, what's killing them? Myocarditis, pericarditis. Oh, what's the side effects of the vaccine even admitted by the CDC? Myocarditis, pericarditis. Flight surgeon at Fort Rucker told me she's having to ground pilots because their vaccine's damaging them so bad that they can't fly anymore safely. She's become a whistleblower against the commanding officers down at Fort Rucker because they told her to keep giving the vaccine. She's like, I'm not doing it. She told me at dinner, she said the damage, if the spike proteins from the vaccine go to the heart and cause heart damage, we can't fix it. There's nothing that can be done She said, these people will, most of them will be dead within 1 to 5 years. If you had heart problems from the vaccine, dead 1 to 5 years. And then everybody forgets 2010, TED Talk, Bill Gates. We've got to lower the population of the world. What he said. Find that for me. We got to lower the population of the world. I'm sure it's in Dropbox. I'm sure I have it in Dropbox. We got to lower the population of the world. He said, we got to do this because we got to save the planet because of CO2. It's ridiculous. CO2 doesn't do anything to the planet. It's not a planet anyway. It's a plane. CO2 is good for the plants, y'all. And the plants are good for us. Right? CO2. I mean, that's like saying oxygen is bad for us. CO2 is bad for the planet. It's psychos. But see, let me tell you something. They say it enough in public, you believe it. Oh, God, we got to stop CO2 emissions. Well, if we stop CO2 emissions, we stop the plant growth, and then we stop the oxygen supply, and then we die, which is what they want. But here's what Bill Gates said. I'm going to give you the quote. He said, we've got to lower the population of the world. We've got to bring this down to zero, this number down to zero. So if we do really, really good with health care, new vaccines, we should be able to get this number down. Now, ooh, time out. I thought vaccines helped us live longer. I thought vaccines save lives. So if you help people live longer and you save lives, how do you reduce the population with new vaccines? And he said this on more than one occasion. Did you find it yet? All right, let's play it. Just play it for the new folks. Just for funsies. Yeah.
CO2 is warming the planet. And the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase. And that temperature increase leads to some very negative effects. The effects on the weather, perhaps worse, the indirect effects in that the natural ecosystems can't adjust to these rapid changes, and so you get ecosystem collapses. Now, the exact amount of how you map from a certain increase in of CO2 to what temperature will be and where the positive feedbacks are, there's some uncertainty there, but not very much. And there's certainly uncertainty about how bad those effects will be, but they will be extremely bad. I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than saying, you know, we're a 12-foot high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than one ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. That's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services. We could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
He's a eugenist. His father was a eugenist. Means he wants to lower the population of the world. So notice he said new vaccines, reproductive health care, which he means abortion, and he means vaccines that actually cause sterilization, which they experimented on people in Kenya and in the Philippines and got caught putting the hormone that causes spontaneous abortions in women in vaccines. Bill Gates got caught doing this. He tells you, we've got to get this down to zero, and one of the things is population. And if we do a really good job on new vaccines, this was in 2010. What do you think he's talking about? mRNA vaccines. They were going to be the way to do it. Lower the population of the world. Do you know that the military data, and I'll show you this in the days ahead, the military data has shown a 400% spike in miscarriages since the vaccine was instituted. And when that a lawyer got hold of that information, the military made it disappear. Yeah, no, these people are trying to lower the population of the world. And they're going to do it through war, famine, and vaccines. You hear me? And abortion, pushing abortion. And another reason they push homosexuality, because homosexuals can't reproduce. That's why they push homosexuality. Ain't got nothing to do with. Yeah. Let's show the media again. You want to see with the media? The talking heads that get their... They get their talking points from someone up higher. It doesn't matter if it's Fox, CBS, NBC, ABC, or CBS. Let's play this little montage.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubling, irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 That was all the same story on the same day. First of all, let me say this. The word democracy, the United States is not a democracy, never have been. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. They keep saying democracy. Because you know what a democracy is, don't you? Mob rule. A republic means you're guided by a document, a law, a supreme law, and that even the majority does not get to violate or change that supreme law. So what I'm saying is you are being lied to, just in that clip, extremely dangerous to our democracy. No, you know what's dangerous to our democracy? Them. The liars that lie about everything. I remember doctors stuck their necks out. Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale, Dr. Peter McCullough, Texas A&M, Baylor University, top cardiologist in the world, Dr. Didier Raoult of France, top infectious disease doctor in the world, Dr. Didier Raoult of France, started treating people with hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and azithromycin, and started saving lives. I preached this in every speech I gave over the state for 2 years. These doctors stuck their neck out. Dr. Robin Armstrong, who saved an entire home, nursing home. Everybody got COVID. He gave them all hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and azithromycin and saved all of their lives in a nursing home. And you know what's interesting? There was Asian, Dr. Harvey Risch, Asian doctor. Dr. Robin Armstrong, African-American doctor. Dr. Didier Raoult, French doctor. Dr. Peter McCullough, American doctor. Dr. Pierre Corey, a Democrat liberal from New York. All telling us this was save your life. It saved my life. They saw thousands of lives get saved. And the news media, these people told you, no, it's horse paste. Ivermectin's horse paste. Hydroxychloroquine will give you a heart attack. Liars, liars, liars. I showed the documents. NIH studies 2005. They knew hydroxychloroquine stopped SARS-CoV-1. Knew it then. Fauci knew it in 2005. Why did they keep it from us? Why did they try to lie about it? Why did they try to dismiss it and keep it away from us? Because it would save our lives, and they wanted us dead. They wanted us taking a vaccine. And the next thing they're going to want is you to put a chip in your right hand or your forehead. The Bible calls it the mark of the beast. But folks are going to run to it because these talking heads are going to go, it's the only way to get back to normal. You got to put the chip in. It's the only way that you'll be able to buy or sell. You've got to be part of the economy. In fact, we're going to give you a universal basic income. Just take the mark, take the chip in your hand or your forehead, and we'll make sure all your needs are taken care of by the government. And people are going to run to Walmart and to their local mega churches, and they're going to do it. And it's going to be Christians doing it. Lining up, sign me up, chip away. Mark of the beast. And you say, well, why are you bringing this up? I'm going to tell you why. Let's put the scriptures up for the mark of the beast right here. Why am I saying this? Because all of these false narratives out here from Christians, post-millennialism, dominion theology, kingdom now, your best life now, every day of Friday. Joel Osteen, why don't you tell people about the book of Revelation? That's not my ministry. Joel, why don't you tell them about sin, that they have to turn from sin, they have to repent and follow Jesus? It's not my ministry. I've heard him say it. Why don't you talk about sin, Joel? It's not my ministry. Let's read this. Go down to verse 16. Don't tell me this has happened in history, because it hasn't. And he, talking about the Antichrist beast, he causes all. Somebody say all. Now, back in 70 AD, when they were bartering primarily was the means of commerce, different nations had different coinage. But think about it. Do you think in 70 AD you can control all buying and selling worldwide? So stop with the false doctrine of preterism. It's a false doctrine. And it will not prepare people for what's coming. post-millennialism, preterism, it's error, it's heresy. The church fathers who were discipled by the Apostle John did not teach it either. Polycarp, Irenaeus, Papias, or Papia, however you say his name, Papias, I just learned about him. And it was interesting is I just learned about him, and I've studied these guys. And I'm like, who's this guy? I hadn't heard of him. Hearer of John. Hung out with Polycarp. Polycarp, discipled directly by John. They didn't teach this nonsense. They knew it was in the future. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man, somebody say no man, might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Let's keep going. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Or 666. And get this. There's already a, what's the patent number? 060606. To merge technology with the human being with a injected chip and also a dye called luciferase, so that they can read the information. Now, folks, this is coming. And how close were we when they were pushing the COVID vaccines? You're going to have to get a vaccine passport to fly, to sell. They were talking about to go into a restaurant, to go into a grocery store. Israel. Now, if we got that close in 2020 and 2021, where do you think we're going here in the next few years? Oh, it's going to be here. It's going to be here in your lifetime. You're going to see it. I'm going to see it. Our children are going to be faced with this. Let's go to Revelation 20. Let's read Revelation 20. See, it's real simple. Jesus said that he's coming immediately after the tribulation of those days. Somebody say immediately. After the tribulation of those days. We'll go back to that in a minute. But let's read this. I'm going to read it from here. Let's see. Revelation 20. Let's keep it right. Now, Revelation 19 is the second coming of Jesus. Jesus comes on the white horse. So Jesus returns. The Armageddon takes place. We could read all of 19. I'm not going to read all of 19, but it says this. And. Somebody say and. Means it's a continuation of the previous thought, right? So Jesus comes on a white horse, second coming of Jesus. The skies are open. The firmament's opened up. Jesus comes back, fights the battle of Armageddon. And he says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Lived and reigned with Christ. Now, wait a minute. Now, if the beast who issues the mark, and the mark is what's going to cause many believers to be beheaded, how could the millennial reign have happened already? How could the second coming of Jesus happened already? Do you see the foolishness in this? And this is just one thing. Irenaeus, who wrote against heresies in the second century, he wrote about it and he said, let me tell you a reason why we know that the second coming of Jesus hadn't happened already and that this is a future event. Number one, he said, we know John wrote Revelation after 70 AD. He said, but the land promised to Abraham has never been fully given to him, ever in history. The land, and God spelled it out, what he was getting. And the Israelites, the Jews, have never possessed that landmass, ever. So it's going to happen. Now, what's interesting, it said that Israel would be, Isaiah 11, written in 750 BC, says that the nation of Israel would be scattered to the nations twice. Brought back to the land twice. Only twice. Now, when did it happen? First time? Nebuchadnezzar? They came back. Right? It was from 605 BC to 536. The 70 years. 605 BC, 70 years. They were dispersed, brought back to the land. We have all that recorded in the Bible. 70 AD, they were dispersed again to the nations. Scattered to the nations, Israel ceased to be a nation 1,878 years. For the end time Bible prophecies to come to pass, they had to come back the second time. For Isaiah 11, for Amos 9. Amos 9 says that when they come back, they will no more be scattered to the nation. Paul talked about, in the end, the Jews would be converted, and that would bring in the resurrection. He said they would be surrounded by enemies right before the second coming of Jesus. So, well, that happened in 70 AD. Yeah, it happened to Jerusalem. But remember, they hadn't been a second time yet. That was the first time. They had to come back the second time. So what I'm saying is all these little details are in the Bible. But most people don't pay attention to those. Oh, I saw a YouTube video, and we're the millennium already happened. Really, you're a genius. Where do you get that from? I think his name's Pastor Doka. Yeah, I had to run in with him before. This is what's coming. Are you prepared to live for Jesus in everything that's coming our way? We know that there's going to be economic upheaval. We know there's going to be food shortage. We were foretold that wheat and barley would become for a portion of wheat and barley would be a day's wages. They even said, don't hurt the oil in the wine. Oh, the oil. Guess what? The United States dollar is not backed by gold and silver anymore. What is it? It's the petrodollar. So you hurt the oil like Biden, you start cutting off the supply. Guess what happens? Inflation, high gas prices. All of this stuff, it's in there. It's in here, right here. All this stuff going on, it's in here. I didn't want to act like, literally, there are people out there, the world's getting better and better. The church, it's getting better and better. That right there is Mary Poppins. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to get their universal basic income and think, look at here, I don't have to work anymore. I got me a chip in my hand, and I got money in my account. They leave me alone. I got my vaccination and my 5,000 boosters. I know I'm growing a third arm, but I'll be all right. And, you know, folks act like you should just trust the government. Did anybody forget the Tuskegee experiment? Anybody forget that? It seems like the whole world has. What they did to our soldiers just up in North Alabama. Oh, they apologize. The latest thing we found out is that Camp Lejeune, they've been poisoning our soldiers for decades. Camp Lejeune in the water. You sit back and you go, you trust the government. I mean, the Bush family is behind 9/11 100%. They orchestrated what happened on that day. There were 19 terrorists from Saudi Arabia. Really? Y'all believe that? 19 terrorists with box cutters took over three planes and managed to fly them into the World Trade Center with no fighter jets shooting them down. And hit the Pentagon too. And then there was two planes that hit two buildings, yet three skyscrapers collapsed. Nobody knows about Building 7. I went to a meeting up in North Alabama. I asked everybody in the room, how many of you know about Building 7 on September 11th, 2001? How many know about Building 7? They look at me like, what? One person raised their hand. I was like, nobody knows that the 40-story skyscraper of Building 7 went down at free fall speed, and it was not hit by a plane. The firemen in New York City said they heard it pop, 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 pop. Controlled demolition is how it went down. Let me just go and tell you, never in history of mankind, never in our history has a plane or a fire caused a skyscraper to fall down. Nor does a plane hitting a building cause support girders to be cut perfectly at 45-degree angles inwardly. No, the Bush family did that. Cheney. Bush. Why do you think Liz Cheney hates Trump so much? On 9/11, on that day, on air, Trump was saying buildings like this don't fall down. He was like astounded. He knows the truth. I think that's what he gave them. The Bush family in that funeral of George Herbert Walker Bush, he handed them all a note. They all looked like they were about to pee their pants. Like, we know everything. We got everything. But let me tell you right now, because the media told everybody, oh, it's 19 terrorists. And we found their, you know, everything's burning. Everything's burning. But we found their passports laying on the street in New York. Come on, folks. The United States government has been taken over by the deep state. We were warned about this. The military-industrial complex, the deep state. We were warned about this. Which president was it? Eisenhower. Before he went out, warned us. Kennedy warned us that there was a massive conspiracy. And what did he get for it? A bullet in the back of the head. Yep. We've only had, folks, a handful of presidents over the many, many years of the United States, a handful that were true to our country. And some of them were Democrats and some of them were Republicans. Imagine that. But the rest of them have been dirty dogs, traitors, betrayed us. And they've been Republicans and Democrats. See, I'm awake, folks. I ain't asleep. Don't be deceived by the media, by lukewarm Christians, by Christians that have no idea, they haven't studied this book, if they don't put it in context. See, that's why it says study to show yourself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Meaning you can wrongly divide it. Judas went and hanged himself. Go down and do likewise. Make it say anything. We can't do that. And you know, I know I need to close, but I'll say this and I'll close. As a pastor, that my job is to protect people from deception. And we have this church and we have the thousands of people that watch every week. It's still, my heart is still burdened because I know some of you and some of them will be carried away by deception. I remember Paul telling the Ephesus, he said, in tears, he told them, when I leave, grievous wolves are going to come in among you, not sparing the flock, deceivers. And all I can tell you, don't listen to me. Don't listen to anybody. You better read your Bible and know it backwards and forwards and up and down and all around. You better know it from Genesis to the maps. Because it's going to get worse out here. It's not getting better. Anybody tells you it's going to get better? Lie. It's not getting better. Now, I know, you know, and I feel, you know who I feel sorry for? Some of you young people, because y'all want to think, oh, I want to, you know, I got all these plans. Well, that's fine. Make plans like it's going to be in 100 years, but you also need to make plans like it could be over tomorrow. I still got things I'm going to do that I plan to do. I ain't running to the hills. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to enjoy Thanksgiving. Shoot guns, have fun. Might even get back to playing golf now. It's not we can't enjoy this place. In fact, Solomon said we should enjoy the fruit of our labor. We should enjoy this, what God's blessed us with, while we can enjoy it. Love your family. Don't take it for granted. Let me tell you something right now. Don't take your family for granted. Love your family. Children, love your parents. Obey your parents. It could all be gone tomorrow. I think about my mom. Wish I could pick up the phone and call her every day. I miss my sister, something fierce. That vaccine killed my sister. I miss Jennifer. Or as I called her, Jin Jin. Or when I wanted to irritate her, I called her Ginger. Don't take anything for granted. Enjoy your family. Enjoy what God's blessed you with. But prepare yourself too. It's not going to all be roses and butterflies and Skittles. It's about to get really sporty out there. I think we're just kind of in a calm before the storm right now. COVID was a storm, but the storm that's coming is even bigger. Let's stand. The only way is to draw near to Jesus. Amen. Draw near to Jesus. Oh, what song should we do? Oh, let's do I See the Lord. Because he's coming back, folks. You know, the Bible, the book of Revelation, y'all know what Revelation means? The word apocalypse. It means the revealing. The revealing. When the firmaments roll back, it says every eye is going to see him. Jesus is going to be revealed. That's when they're going to say, hide us from the one who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us. Why do you think they got all these rich folks? Got bunkers everywhere. Hide us. They know he's coming. And a bunch of stupid Christians. He already came. You about stupid, son. He already came. No, he didn't. Because let me tell you what he's waiting for. Let me tell you what Jesus is about to do. The entrance that Jesus is going to make, the sun and the moon go dark. You know when you're in a theater and they turn the lights off and then the curtain opens? Jesus is going to turn the lights off. Sun and the moon and the stars going to fall. It's going to be pretty dark. And then he's going to open the curtain, which is the firmament. And it says every eye is going to see him. Every eye. That's why you don't live on a spinning, flying water ball. And poor Australians don't get to see nothing if it's a ball, folks. Jesus is coming back physically to this earth to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And the saints who go with him on that last day, we go up to be with him and we come right back. And the saints that are transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that go from mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruptible, the moment you're changed, this is what they don't know. I'm going to be governor here no matter what they think. I'm going to be appointed by the king. And all of you are going to be appointed. It says we're going to rule and reign with him. Do you understand what that means? Kings and priests of the Most High God for all eternity. That's what it's about. Let's do it. That you promised you would return to this place, Lord. That you would set up your kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And then after that, all eternity. After you deal with Satan that last time. But Lord, we can be with you now and be ready for this great tribulation that's soon upon us. And the mark of the beast and this whole Antichrist system they're building against the true church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we will stand for you. We will honor you. We will not bow our knee to this system. We will not take the mark of the beast. We will not do it. We will follow you to the end. We will endure to the end, even if it comes to our head being chopped off. We're going to be faithful to you. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Y'all know the drill. We're going to eat downstairs together. If you want to go get something and come back, you're welcome to go get you whatever you want to eat and come back and eat with us. We hope everybody does. We know some of you can't, but we hope all of you do. It's where we fellowship and take our time. Don't get in a hurry. Thank you for coming today. Hope you were blessed. Hope you learned something. Say bye to everybody out there. Yeah. Bye, y'all.